But of course, we will have to start this morning with a story that has really dominated headlines across the country, not just in Kerry, since it occurred on New Year's night. Six men are due to appear in court this morning after four men were stabbed in a Killarney Direct Provision Centre on New Year's Day. The violence rightly condemned. However, the incident has also been shamefully used online to justify hateful and racist comments. Now, in a moment, we'll be hearing from the Mayor of Killarney, Cathaoirleach of Killarney Municipal District, Councillor Niall Kelleher, who's also President of the Killarney Chamber of Tourism and Commerce, and also to former Councillor Michael Gleeson, who's on the board of CASI, which is the Killarney Immigrant Support Centre. But before coming on air in the past hour, I spoke to a representative of a group which represents asylum seekers. I was speaking to Lucky Kambouli, who is coordinator with MASI, the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland. Now, MASI has condemned the violence on New Year's night in Killarney. He says Gardaí should be allowed to carry out their investigation and that the incident at Hotel Killarney on the Cork Road, in the Park Road area of the town, which has been currently used as a temporary direct provision centre, should not be used to justify racism against people seeking international protection here. Now, I first put to Lucky Kambouli and said that people who are not in any way racist have legitimate concerns about whether a town of Killarney's population, around 15,000 or so at this time of year, has the services and facilities to cater for hundreds of asylum seekers that have been placed in the town in recent times. This is Lucky's response.
Well, in terms of the numbers, we need to also understand that the government is faced with unprecedented times at this stage for the past 12 months, where there has been an increase an unprepared increase of the people that seek protection in this country, coupled with the crisis in Ukraine that took its toll in terms of the accommodation of the people that are refugees and asylum seekers in this country. And the government had to find a way for people to stay somewhere. We had lots of complaints where government put people in tents in freezing conditions. So I understand with the fact that in Killarney, the small population and everything else, but it's an argument that I think we should not only reduce it to that, because when things like this happen in any community, okay, it's unfortunate it happens, and the law and the guard must do their part in terms of dealing with the criminality of activities that are happening anyway in our country. But obviously it's unfortunate that this is linked with the far right taking hate, perpetrating the hate and blaming the people that seek protection coming here. We need also understand that this grouping of people in so many people in one place in a small town is also not a wise thing from the government point of view, and also there are elements of different cultural backgrounds, different religious belief, everything else in direct provision is a small little thing triggers anger from people, because already they are suffering from traumatic experience from wherever they come from. Any small little thing that happens can lead to this. It has happened before in direct provision, but not to this extent whereby people have been hurting themselves the way that they did. But it's something that can be avoided in terms of how to group the people and not overcrowd them.
How can it be avoided?
Give them space.
You're saying about giving space. How is that possible, though, when there is an accommodation crisis, there is a housing crisis in this country? How does the government do that, achieve that? And what are the other ways that you suggest that could reduce the likelihood of something like this happening again? And as you rightly pointed out, it's important to put this in context. Nothing of this scale has ever happened before in Ireland.
Yeah. No, it has never happened. It shocked us. It's shocking us, and it's scary. I was speaking to the residents there, the mothers in that centre, who have told me that the noise that they have experienced there, they have never experienced, they have never seen that before. They were scared to even come out because of the noise that was what was going on downstairs there. And imagine the parents that are there and the kids that are experiencing this. It's so unfortunate, really. It's so unfortunate. It can be avoided by spreading it around, spreading accommodation. I know that is currently happening, but I think there's too many people there in that small town and in small hotel. I mean, that hotel, too many people in one place at the same time for a longer time. It creates those kind of problems. So I think something needs to be done. Obviously, it can't be left like this because of the crisis. But something needs to be thought of. What is it that we can do collectively, government and everybody else, as to what is it that can be done to prevent this from happening? Because it's giving a stain to the country, to the people of Ireland, and to the people that are seeking protection. Who are scared already being here. So when they see things like this, something that they didn't even see when they were scared coming from their homes, but they see this loud noise that they couldn't bear. People were just peeping from the windows to see what's happening because they were so scared.
Gardaí told us yesterday, Lucky, that around close to 400 people live in Hotel Killarney, the scene of the violence on the night of New Year's Day. Now, in the discourse of the last number of months, the impression has been given that it's mostly or overwhelmingly men that now live in Hotel Killarney, in that temporary direct provision centre. But you're saying that that's not the case. There's also women and children.
Oh, there's also women. I was speaking with women and with children there. I know for the fact that during the Christmas drive, we had a list of kids that we provided for gifts for Christmas in that hotel. So there are kids that are there, and there are women that are there, and obviously there are men. So if they say it's male alone, no, that's not accurate.
And what else did residents tell you, Lucky, about New Year's night?
Well, the one that was there took some videos as well. It was scary. What they say to me is that they were just scared. And one had to run back to her room when the things were getting out of hand. And it's just being the experience was the scariest experience. That's what the residents are telling me. It was just a scary situation whereby people can just fight and the blood everywhere. They were saying that there was blood everywhere. It's a sight that they don't want to see again, really. It's so unfortunate that people could not really pull themselves. Whatever we don't know the details of the causality of all the arguments that led to this. I don't know. We just hope that the guard will really do the proper investigation and make sure that this doesn't happen and a lesson be learned. Whatever the case is, when there's an element of criminality, the guard must always be given that chance to do their investigation and make their findings.
And that's Lucky Cambooley, coordinator with MASI, the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland, speaking to me earlier in response to the New Year's night violence at a temporary direct provision centre in Killarney, the Hotel Killarney on the Cork Road. Listening into my interview with Lucky Cambooley is Mayor of Killarney, Cathaoirleach of Killarney Municipal District, Councillor Niall Kelleher, who's also President of Killarney Chamber of Tourism and Commerce. We'll come to Niall Kelleher very presently, but we also have on the line, and I appreciate that he's under pressure for time, former Kerry County Councillor Michael Gleeson, who's a board member of CASI, the Killarney Immigrant Support Centre. Michael, what's your response to what occurred on Monday night, and we are on Sunday night, I should say, New Year's night, and of course we are mindful that people are due to appear before the courts in relation to it this morning.
Good morning, Tessa, and Happy New Year to you and to the Mayor and to all your listeners. And indeed, I think what needs to be said has probably been said so wonderfully well already by Lucky. His presentation of the entire matter has been quite superb. I do want to say that CASI is not about determining government policy. So I have nothing in the world to say about government policy in that sense. That's up to the government and to the elected representatives to make their... The function of CASI is to help, as far as possible, asylum seekers and migrants, and to adapt, to help them to adapt to their new settings and to give them appropriate advice and help in any way possible. Now, it is... Lucky is absolutely correct that the numbers that are staying in that hotel are far excessive, that obviously there are clashes there between various ethnic groupings and different religions, and that causes its own tensions. That does not in any way excuse the use of a knife, but I'm sure it's not the only place in Ireland where a knife was used in recent times. It's unfortunate, as you quite correctly said, Tressa, that's a matter for the Gardaí. What I do want on behalf of CASI, and I hope on behalf of all decent people, is to condemn unreservedly any racist comments that are being made. The people who have come to Hotel Killarney and all the other people resident in Killarney, by and large, have been very respectful of the society in which they live, and any of us who drive the roads in and out to Killarney or travel the roads in and out to Killarney or in and around Killarney will see that the vast majority of them behave with great dignity and respect. Lucky is absolutely correct in saying the entire system, because of the Ukrainian influx of people, the entire system is overwhelmed. Obviously, that number of people should not be anywhere. I for those who think that putting up racist comments, and I have deliberately not looked at them, by being told they're there, I would hope that they would appreciate the great irony that this week, one of the great, probably the greatest footballer the world has ever known, Pelé from Brazil, is being mourned and is about to be buried in his own country. And he is of the same colour of many of the people who are staying in Killarney. So people should make sure that they don't contradict themselves by mourning one great man while condemning other people. The Gardaí have their job to do. I'm sure they will do it very well. What I do want to say as well, during my previous life in the council, I'm on record on numerous occasions of calling on government to ensure that nobody is condemned to stay in direct provision for more than 6 months. I do believe that the government introduced some scheme in that regard in the not too distant past, but possibly the Ukrainian influx caused difficulty in that regard. But I think it's unfair that people should be forced to live in very inappropriate, from a family perspective certainly, inappropriate settings, inappropriate locations for longer than 6 months. So I hope that this will be a salutary lesson, that the minister will heed and that the government will heed, and that we will take proper cognizance of the difficulties. Interestingly enough, at our final CASI meeting before Christmas, it was suggested at the meeting that the Gardaí should visit the hotel and talk to the residents and inform them, as the vast majority of these people are asylum seekers, that any inappropriate behaviour on behalf of any individual or individuals will work adversely in relation to their application. So I hope that was done. I don't know, because it was very close to Christmas when our meeting was took place. But if it wasn't done, I'm sure the Gardaí will now follow up in light of the incident that happened. And I hope very sincerely that all groups, local residents and those who have come to live among us temporarily or otherwise, will proceed into the new year in harmony and in mutual respect.
Finally, Michael, I know you're pressed for time. Michael, it's been said to me since the story broke on Sunday night that anyone coming to Ireland are completely unvetted, that there's no background checks, that everything, you know, their claims for asylum are just taken on word of mouth and taken on trust, that there's also been allegations and claims that women are afraid of walking in Killarney because of the attention they receive from men. Now, it should be borne in mind that I'm sure that sexual harassment is not unique to any group at all. Can you separate the fact from the myth? Because there's so much commentary, and even there are links made between what happened in Killarney on Sunday night, at Hotel Killarney and a crash in Barraduff, and there was speculation, which as far as I know is groundless, that there wasn't an ambulance available to go to Barraduff. There's all this hyperbole sweeping around, people getting very passionate and resulting in some instances, I'm afraid to say, a very nasty and hateful commentary about people from minority communities.
Tressa, all I can say to you at this advanced stage of my life, that's one of the things I can never cope with, is negativity. It's fellow traveller, in a sense, bad-mouthing one's own place. But there are a tiny minority of people, be they elected or not elected, who seem to thrive on exaggerating the effect. And you mentioned about harassment of ladies. I've heard of one such incident that was done, I'm told, by a small group of men on their way walking into town, that they harassed a lady. I heard of one and one only. Granted, now I'm not in the public domain as much as I was, but that's all I heard of, and I'm absolutely certain that over the Christmas period that there are ladies who are probably treated with disrespect by members of our own community also. But it's very easy to pick on the black people because of their colour, because they are, in a sense, defenceless. As I said earlier, and I think my successor in the council, John O'Donoghue, said it quite well on TG Cahar yesterday. He asked for everybody to fun soccer, to stay calm at this time, and let's progress matters, and let the Gardaí do their job, let the government do their job, and have another view look at the density in Hotel Killarney, and when the opportunity presents itself, let's reduce the numbers and let's do it ethnically, or in a way where communities that have something in common can be housed together, and not people with clashing cultures and religions be forced into the one very large setting of people.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Michael Gleeson, who is on the board of Killarney Immigrant Support Centre, CASI, speaking to me there and giving his response to the violence that erupted at the Temporary Direct Provision Centre in Killarney on New Year's night on Hotel Killarney on the Cork Road. When we come back, we'll be speaking to the Mayor of Killarney, Cathaoir Lough of Killarney Municipal District, who's also the President of the Killarney Chamber of Tourism and Commerce, Niall Kelleher. We're talking about the violence that broke out at the Temporary Direct Provision Centre, Hotel Killarney on the Cork Road in the town on New Year's night. Six men are due to appear before court in Killarney this morning in relation to the matter. Four men were stabbed during the violence. We're joined now on the line by the Cathaoir Lough of Killarney Municipal District, Mayor of Killarney, Niall Kelleher, Fianna Fáil Councillor, who's also President of Killarney Chamber of Tourism and Commerce. Good morning to you, Niall. And obviously we need to put this in context. Nothing of this scale has ever happened. It's very much an isolated incident, I would argue, when you look at the fact that direct provision has been in operation in Ireland now for over 20 years. But nonetheless, would you have some concerns about the impact it would have on Killarney as a tourism destination?
Look, certainly this publicity in relation to Killarney is most unwelcome, and people of Killarney have genuine fears and concerns, Tressa, and that's the important thing that we need to look at this morning. But as former Councillor Gleeson has said there, and I said my colleague Councillor O'Donoghue said, we need to look at this based on the facts, and there's quite a lot of misinformation. You've referred there to an incident in Borodove, and I've quite rightly heard that there was no ambulance that attended the scene. That's incorrect. There's photographs up online which show an ambulance at the scene of that accident. So it's very,
because
very
the commentary
wrong.
Online, because the commentary online, Niall, just to make it clear for some people who might have missed our conversation earlier, that there were no ambulances available to go to that crash in Barraduff because all the ambulances in the area had been dispatched to Hotel Killarney to deal with the people who had been injured in the attack.
At the time I was reading people making those comments online, there was also a picture posted advising people to stay away from Borodove because there was an accident, and in that photograph there was a picture of an ambulance, and not alone in that photograph and subsequent photographs there was pictures of emergency services at the scene of the accident. And I heard about that accident very, very quickly after it happening. It's obviously on the side of the country that I reside in. So that's incorrect, and it's wrong for people to have misinformation and draw incorrect conclusions in relation to this. This is a horrific incident to happen in our town. I condemn it. The people in the town condemn it, and there are very legitimate fears and concerns in relation to the continued operation of this temporary direct provision centre in the volumes, and that has already been said earlier by the two contributors earlier, 13 different nationalities, and that is something that I have called for IPAS and the Minister to investigate immediately and deal with outcomes. I believe, and I am hearing, that there will be residents moved from the centre. Obviously, the case is going to the courts this morning, and we don't want to say anything that would prejudice that, but Councillor Gleeson is quite right in what he said earlier. Anybody that will be found to have committed a criminal offence, that will form part of their application for asylum. And it's important, Tressa, to remember, we have a situation where there's been a 400% increase in people seeking international protection in this country. I and other public representatives have said the best way to deal with the volumes that we have is to increase the amount of applicant processing and to deal with them in as quick a time as possible, because it is not a correct solution for a temporary direct provision centre to be in a hotel. I appreciate the government has difficulties as a result of the Ukrainian war, and that is effectively being exploited. But we need to ensure that the applicants that are applying for international protection that are entitled to it are entitled to remain, and those that are not will be deported, and that is how we deal with the volumes of people that are entering the country. There will be people who will turn around and say, you know, everyone that comes in should be deported. We have a system and international agreements that have been signed up to over 70 years ago. And the way to deal with the outcome that people are looking for is to process people's applications. That is the vetting of somebody coming into this country.
But Niall Kelleher, you're a member of Fianna Fáil, your party's in government. Isn't your party part of the problem, part of the failure in dealing with this problem? And I know you've issued calls, as you said yesterday evening, you called on the Minister for Integration, Roger O'Gorman of the Green Party, to investigate the matter. And of course, his department oversees IPAS, the International Protection Accommodation Services, which is in charge of issuing contracts to house those seeking asylum, seeking international protection. But people listening in might say, well, it's all well and good for him to call on the government to do better, to do this, to do that, but he's part of the government. Fianna Fáil are in power.
Well, yeah, Tressa, absolutely. But let's be very, very clear. From last October and prior to this entire situation, I, as a member of Fianna Fáil, who is one of three parties in government, and let's be clear, the minister is a Green minister. I have used the context that I have among my own party to deal with the issues at hand. It is my responsibility as an elected representative from my area, if I disagree with policy that is there and implemented by government, that I highlight it. I will continue to do that. Just because I am a member of a party doesn't agree, doesn't mean that I will agree with everything that the party decision will be made, but I will use my influence in that regard, as I have in the past, when 130 Ukrainian women and children were being moved from that particular hotel 400 kilometres to another hotel to accommodate international protection applicants with no communication in the world. That was a wrong decision made by a government department, and I called it out, and I will do that where it needs to be done, and it needs to be done in this instance. I am not a member of government. I'm not a backbench TD. I'm not a minister for state. I'm not in government. I am a councillor and mayor of this town, and I will highlight any issues that need to be highlighted on behalf of the people of Killarney, and that's what I am doing.
Now, looking back on Dáil records, the Minister for Justice at the time, she's on maternity leave now, Helen McEntee, said back in July that the median processing times for prioritised applications for asylum, whatever prioritised means, processed in the second quarter of last year was 10 months. And she gave figures, and again, this was to Matty McGrath during the summer, and she said that it took less than 6 months to process applications for asylum for more than 6,200 people who applied for asylum in this country or international protection. Is that good enough? 6,000?
Well, bear in mind, that is a figure that was prior, not with the increase of applicants that we've had into the country. And quite simply, if we are to continue with the rate that people are coming into the country, because we have to process the applications through the international agreements, then there is going to be more people that will need to be accommodated who obviously will not get international protection. So my point here is, and it has been said by other elected representatives who are not in government and are in government, that we need to speed up that process and to be able to do it quicker than the 10 months that have been outlined. I think that is fair, because it is not justifiable that we have the numbers that we have, and if that figure is to get larger, then that would be an issue.
And you're saying those figures there, you're rightly so, that those figures are really prior to the arrivals of the thousands that have now come in here from Ukraine as a result of Russia invading that country. Finally,
let's be clear, Trasta, the people that are getting international protection applicants are people that are applying for asylum. When they apply for asylum, they get refugee status. The people that are coming from Ukraine have temporary refugee status and are nowhere in the figures that are mentioned I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying
you're right to clarify. I wasn't suggesting that people arriving from Ukraine are part would be seeking asylum, as they are granted refugee status when they come here. But obviously it puts a whole pressure on the system as a whole when you have asylum seekers coming here and also people coming from Ukraine.
Without a doubt, it puts pressure on the accommodation system, and there is nowhere in that have we said otherwise. However, it is important that previous lessons that have been learned by the department in relation to the amount of different groups from different countries being in one premises, the volume that has been mentioned already, when issues happen, mistakes happen, it is important that they are dealt with and rectified and communicated to the people who are shouldering the burden, as the town of Killarney has done and has been well said by me and by others, other elected representatives in the council at our meetings also.
And finally, Niall, and briefly, if you could answer this, and thank you for your time and coming on the show this morning. Does it need to be a special meeting in Killarney of stakeholders, of people representing those seeking international protection, of the tourism interests, of business interests, of community representatives, that there needs to be some sort of gathering, meeting, understanding, getting the Gardaí involved as well. And of course, we are mindful that this matter is before the courts. But does there need to be better communication in Killarney as a whole between the various sectors?
Without a doubt, but the communication needs to lead from the contracting authority, who are IPAS. And it is IPAS's responsibility, because they are the contracting authority, they're the people that have contracted the hotel. And let's be clear, Trasa, the agencies that you refer to quite often meet and consult with each other in relation to whether it's the Ukrainian crisis or to the amount of people that have come from international protection. They have met. You have seen very many statements that have been made by those groups, together by my involvement in the Chamber of Commerce, by CASI as former Councillor Gleeson represented, and members of Garda Síochána and members of the Health Service. There has been many issues said in relation to the pressures that Killarney find itself under, and I quite simply, I think the time now is for action in relation to IPAS, and to fully, as I've said already, the Garda investigation will have results. It is important that IPAS, with people on the ground in Killarney, communicate with me and other elected representatives in relation to the plans for this temporary direct provision centre, which there is less, I believe, than 2 months left in the contract, which was done temporarily due to the large numbers entering the country. And so very much welcome communication from IPAS in that regard.
Well, thank you. We'll leave it there. We've been speaking to Councillor Niall Kelleher of Fianna Fáil, Cathaoirleach of Killarney Municipal District, the Mayor of Killarney, come popularly known, and President of Killarney Chamber of Tourism and Commerce. And just to say, we have put in a request to speak to Minister Roderick O'Gorman, who the Minister for Integration, and his department oversees IPAS, the International Protection Accommodation Services, which is in charge of issuing contracts to house people seeking international protection. A comment as well coming down the wires. Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman has made a comment in relation to the violence that broke out in Killarney at the Direct Provision Centre on Monday night, New Year's night. Now, on Sunday night, I should say, which was New Year's night. Now, we're joined on the line by Deputy Danny Healy-Ray. Danny, good morning to you. But before I come to you, I want you to have a listen to Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman. His department, he oversees the agency IPAS, which looks after the provision of accommodation for asylum seekers, for people seeking international protection, and is involved with the contracts being drawn up to provide accommodation. Let's have a listen to what Minister O'Gorman had to say about the violence in Killarney.
Ensuring the safety and security of the residents and indeed the staff of Hotel Killarney is an absolute priority, and you know, in conjunction with Garda Síochána, we'll be taking measures to ensure that in the immediate term.
Danny Healy-Ray, good morning, thank you for joining us. What's your response to what Minister O'Gorman had to say there?
Well, first of all, we don't have very much time to talk about all this, and I'm sorry about that, because I'm very concerned about what has been happening there.
Will you respond to what Roderick O'Gorman had to say first? You had to listen to what he said.
To Roderick O'Gorman and to Micheál Martin and Leo Bradker and Eamon Ryan, they were totally and absolutely reckless in how they treated the asylum seekers and how they treated the people of Killarney. To land on was 400 of these misfortunate people into the one place, into the one house on the Park Road in Killarney. And the people on the Park Road that have lived there all their lives, the girls and women that used to walk the footpath out and do the ring around and go down the road, the Woodlawn Road, and do the ring, all those people have been upset now for many months, because things are not as they were. And while I heard other people, elected representatives, talking there this morning, things are terrible in Killarney at the present time. Girls are frightened by some people, and we don't know exactly, I can't say exactly the people out of Horsham.
And Danny, may I ask you, because when you say, are they saying, oh, I'm frightened because I'm seeing a group of men? Just because there's a group of men, that doesn't mean they're going to sexually harass a woman in any way. If there's a group of people walking down a street, they're entitled to do that. Can you be specific? And Michael Gleeson, who lives in Killarney, and you live in Kilgarvan, Michael Gleeson lives in Killarney.
I'm passing that road every day, though, in and out of Killarney.
Oh, no, I appreciate that, but Michael Gleeson, who lives in Killarney and was a representative for Killarney for many years, says he's only heard of one instance where a woman was sexually harassed, allegedly by a resident.
All right, if you want to talk, Tasha, that's fine. No. But I have a couple of things to say. There are many people feel intimidated and that they can't walk the footpath anymore like they used to do. There are many people living in the Park Road that are frightened out of their lives to come outside the door anymore. And that's the truth. There are girls have been pushed up back little entrances in Killarney, including this last weekend, up the lane by the fort. And different places. There
have
been several instances.
Have they reported to Gardaí, and are you satisfied they're Irish? That the men who allegedly did these things are not Irish or local?
I am satisfied that they're not Irish, and they aren't Irish. I don't know what country they're from, and there was talk about black people. There's a whole lot of different ethnic groups in the Hotel Killarney. They're black, they're coloured, they're every different colour. So I don't know exactly what country they're from, but I do know that 400 people in one place, in one hotel in Killarney, is not right. Our tourism project is being adversely affected.
I just need to say there, well, the colour of their skin is irrelevant, but the point you're making, that your view that there are 400 people in one accommodation centre is too many, and has been reflected by the comments such as Lucky Camboli, whose group represents asylum seekers, would also have concerns about the numbers the high numbers of people living in that temporary direct provision centre. In the time we have, what do you want the government to do? What do you think needs to be done? Can you be specific?
They have to sort it out. They brought a lot of these people down from Blanchardstown. There was political unanimity in Dublin that many of these had to be got out of there for various reasons, and they were landed into the Hotel Killarney by a decoy. A big rumpus was created that the Ukraine women and children would have to be shipped out of there up to Mayo. That was never going to happen, Tasha. And I thought other people in Radio Kerry that was arranged, that they were to be moved downtown. They were never going to be moved, but there was uproar created and a decoy created so that these people could be landed.
I would take umbrage with them. We've no evidence regarding that claim regarding decoys. Briefly though, Danny, in specific terms, we'll talk about that off air, because there may be other people involved. Briefly, what tangible, can you give me a tangible example of what you want the government to do, rather than just saying taking action? Can you give me one concrete thing that you would do if you were in government? And briefly.
Going back over the years, there have been people housed in Park Lodge, Atlas House, small numbers in different places. But this is not on, and they'll have to terminate the contract, and I give no credit to the owners of that hotel for doing this to the people on the Park Road and the people of Killarney and the people of Kerry. And
the owners are entitled to do that because it's their business, because that's their business. But finally, just to conclude, you were saying that you believe that the contract with the hotel should be terminated.
Terminated fully and used the hotel for what was got planning permission in the first day for was the provision of tourist accommodation. And where have they to go with all these people now? I mean, it's not fair on those people, and it's certainly not fair on the people of Killarney as to what's been done and to what has happened there. And deploying so much Garda resources and ambulance resources, it's not fair on the people, those people that are providing those services. Not fair in any way. Okay. There isn't one extra.
Well, we leave it there, Danny. But of course, the ambulance services, anyone would say that if people are in trouble, injured or hurt, it doesn't matter where they're from, who they are,
I know that.
they need to be attended to.
There's no extra doctors.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Danny, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Happy New Year to you.